morning, Patriots. Thought I'd shake you up a little bit on a Monday with a little change up in the music lineup. We need something to energize us sometimes to just make us realize how great God really is. And sometimes music just gets it going like that. It was a neat piece. Makes you want to raise up your hands and go, I don't care if I'm tired. I'm here. Like, God, zap me. I'm ready. That's the way it needs to be. I'll tell you. That's pretty much the way I feel, too. So there you go. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to Father except through me. I think that in this, we look at this whole world and we look at the way that we are as human beings. And we're pretty much a house of rebellion. There are so many things going on, and people are natively aware, most are deeply aware, that we should be seeking to go home. We should be seeking to go to God, our Father. And there's so many attempts at that. We have meditation processes, and we have spiritual experiences. We go to churches, and we have the fanfare of the sermons and the priests and whatever else they do in the churches. We sit in the pews, where we do whatever we need to do in our minds to find our relationship with Christ and to get back, but most importantly, to get back to God. But what's missed, and I will say this because it's really, that's the pieces it's missed, is it's no one comes to the Father except through me. It's not through a church. It's not through a pastor, a priest, a minister. It's not through the sitting in meditation with your legs crossed, chanting some chant and doing some alms. It's not sitting with candles burning and incense flowing, bells ringing. That's all show. And the problem is that the fundamental fact is that it's Christ was sacrificed so that we could get to God. Because all that other things that are being done don't get us to God. We lost that chance. And that chance was lost when Adam and Eve left the garden. They were cast out because they defied God. And a time when Adam and Eve could walk with God, they could stroll with him. They could be in his presence because it was perfection. But the thing that God gave humanity from the very beginning was free will. The power of free will, to choose that way, that choose who we would be with, where we would be in our life. God had hoped when he created us that we would use that free will to return to him. But in an act of defiance, those were his advice, his words of not taking from the tree, the one tree, not to pluck the fruit from and eat from, an act of defiance. And the foundations of man were cast out, and the perfection was broken. And we have wandered, and we have drifted. And with that, we have built the temples. In a certain way, the thing that has happened with our churches these days is just a replication of the story of Babylon, because it's the mindset of people to be able to go to a place that where they will be able to ascend to heaven, forgetting that the whole time the temple is within. But until Christ was sacrificed, people just wandered. We often forget that side of God, which is there is infinite love, but there is equally a demand for justice, and justice is severe and wrath is total. And as we have moved through the ages, that idea has fallen farther and farther away. The readings of the Old Testament are powerful and reminders, and I've said this before, it's why I enjoy reading them, because it is the reminder of that power of God. There is an intensity of wrath. But God didn't ever want to see us not be able to get to him. And as the prince of darkness controlled much of mankind, increasingly, God did the ultimate thing to sacrifice his son to give us a pathway through him to him himself. So through Christ, we get to God. Not through anybody else, not through some false idol worship, not through some ceremony, not through man, not through men who speak on behalf of God, but through Christ. That's the pathway to God. And the beauty of that is we don't need a church to get there. It isn't that the church, as God intended, is not important. Hear me on this. But the church begins within us. It is the temple within us. And the incredible gift that God gave us with the sacrifice of Christ is that through Christ, anybody can reach God. If we begin with a simple place. We do have to admit to ourselves and admit to God in a humbling way that we all sin, that we are, in a sense, we have sinned and we are sinners. I listened to somebody the other day, and I'm not going to say who, but was talking about how their concept is that they don't believe in sin because, and they're a good speaker, but because sin is a man-made construct, because sin always changes. Sin is the imperfections of the life that we live based on the perfection that God originally intended us to be. It's not one thing. It's not a couple things. It's not like a laundry list where you go through and check and go, okay, I did this right today and I did these things wrong. Oops, I need to correct those tomorrow and then I won't be a sinner. That's not the way that works. We, as a nature of a being, walk in a place now where we are no longer perfect as God intended. We are all in that way sinners. The problem that happens with sin, in the use of the term, is it's used as a term to control us now. Churches do it all the time. You are a sinner. You must come to me. You must shed your heart to this church and you will be freed and returned. No, that is not how that is. It is through Christ that when we come to Christ and we humble ourselves and we are allowed to let go and openly be honest, this is the key, with our heart to acknowledge that we are sinners. It's then that we allow in the body of Christ within us. And through that, we are now allowed back to God with our imperfection now healed. And it is there that we now have access to God Almighty Father. It isn't a faith, a belief where we must walk around with guilt to hold, constantly be admonishing yourself because I am a sinner. I'm imperfect. Yeah, look, got it, check, yep. And if you came to Christ and you were honest about it and you put yourself before there in an honest heart and humbled yourself and you seek to have repentance, returning back to Father through Christ, that is healed. And then it is the place of living that walk in trust in God, walking with the body of Christ in the fullness of all that that is, and now living powerfully in the world. There is the change. And that's at that point, one of those things that happens is that the shackles and yokes that are placed upon us by the church itself, so that they can control people, so that they can keep their following, so that they can keep their little cult, is broken. And then we return to the sense of what the true temple of God is. And it begins within us. We are in a powerful time, a time of unbelievable transformation if we so choose to take it. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For the grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. So that no one may boast. There's a statistic that goes on in the Southern Baptist Network. Every church is required, in their network, is required to report how many baptisms they do. In other words, how many lives did you save? And they post it. And they use this as a metric to see whether a church is successful or not. So if they can do a baptismal event or mill, and they can get 10, 20, 30 people done, then apparently that church is successful. That's just one. Every church network does something similar. And it's a distortion of the very principle of what the teachings are about. People's relationship with God is personal, and the church's can be a help and a guide. But they are not a mill, a turning place to just roll out bodies. A relationship with Christ is a true one, a pure one. You have to let go of the false idols. You have to move away from the control of the world around you. You have to step away from the relationship the relationships that are built where a man places themselves before you and your relationship with God. We have to be in a place to have that true relationship with Christ as it was intended, that we humble ourselves and live through the body of Christ. It is through Christ that we come to Christ to humble ourselves and to confess our sins. I don't call up a pastor to do that. We're seeing the power of that distortion now too. And we see major voices in the movements of the name of religions across the world, be it the Pope, be it Franklin Graham, whoever, is now speaking up and distorting the teachings of God to tell people, for example, that getting an injection is scriptural or important or part of the sense of, however they do this, climate change protection or some nonsense like this. I'll tell you, you can read as much as you want in the Bible. You're not going to find God talking about getting an injection or God talking about climate change. And every one of these people that speak that, it's a blasphemy. And it's a distortion, and they themselves walk in the places of the prince of the power of the air that distort the word of God to pull the people away. And sadly, it is all of the major religions that are doing it right now. And that trickles down to the pastors, the priests, the ministers. They now start parroting that same nonsense because they themselves are tied to the religion and not teaching the word of God. This is a time when we must choose where we walk, because we are literally walking into a place where we have a world that is working closely with Christ and coming to Christ, and through that, living by faith. And faith is that power, because we walk by faith, not by sight. And through that, through the body of Christ, we now ascend through our connection to God Himself. Versus those of the mass of the walking dead. And literally, it is a mass of walking dead, because it's even scriptural. It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." And so people have returned to the trespasses and sins in which we once walked by giving themselves and their loyalty to the church, to a man, to a supposed spokesman for God, and obeying those words rather than obeying the relationship of Christ Jesus. Difficult times for many, because they have to confront a relationship that many grew up with their whole life in terms of loyalty to a church or loyalty to a religion. Christ was not a religion. Christ was not a church. He was a sower of seeds. And he was God's gift to us. As said by John 14:6, again, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What an amazing time to live, in which these words written so long ago, the simple words and all the words for that matter of Scripture, but when we really can see them and touch them and feel them and walk through them. What an amazing time in which we can access that so powerfully, and we can feel it so truly in our life. And all we have to do is let go of the things that we've been clinging on to. To try to define our relationship with God. And instead, we turn to Christ and we say, okay, I am here. I am humbled. I repent. I'm coming before you. I am a sinner. And it is then that that's when we become strong once again. Whenever a religion or a church tries to keep us down and trying to constantly keep us in a place where we have to come back and feel guilty and listen to how we are sinners and listen to how we must confess our sins and do this in the name of the church, that's not the relationship with Christ. There is no doubt we are imperfect. And the boldness of and the greatness of the sacrifice with Christ was to heal that imperfection as a whole. And then it is the commitment to us to stay true to that walk and commitment with Christ. Yet another distortion that I've heard way too much, which is, and literally quote, I am not accountable to this world because I am forgiven by the sacrifice of Christ. Wrong. We are fully accountable in this world. And part of that accountability begins with our acknowledgement of our imperfections, of how far we fell and have fallen from the origins of where we came, from the garden. And to do that in a wholesome and honest way with Christ, to live in that place where our hearts remain true to Christ, and then to walk boldly in this world through faith, trust in me, is what God says. And through Christ, we are healed to be able to come to God in trusting in him. And live in this world powerfully, to walk in that place where we live by God's laws. Fundamentally, not difficult laws, right? Trust in me. Treat your neighbor as you want to be treated. Love thy neighbor as you love thyself. Help those in need. Give voice to those that have no voice. In other words, protect the innocent. And if you trust in me, you can have no fear, because within this dominion of my rule, where you choose to live, where you have trusted in me and I will guide you in all things, and you have done that through the acceptance of Christ and the healing in which he provides, I will provide all that is needed. But you must trust. In other words, have faith. And when we water everything down to those simple frameworks and our relationship with Christ, if you look around this world and you tell me what's important right now, there's not a whole lot of anything that's worth your time. And that's the key. If you're spending your time wringing hands and spending your time worrying about what's going to happen on the border or what's going to happen up in D.C., or what's going to happen if such and such does this and signs this order, or what happens, stop. The one thing is pretty much guaranteed is that those that follow Christ are a danger to those in power. The Pharisees hated Christ. That line of power hasn't gone away. They hate us as much as they hated him. And that means that in doing so, as long as they contain control, power, and dominion over this world, we as followers and believers in Christ will always be persecuted. It's pretty simple. So quit worrying about it. Seriously. Like, get over it. Here it is. We're going to be persecuted. Yep. Okay. Got it. Thank you very much. And guess what? I got the biggest guy on the block with me. And thanks to Christ and through the body of Christ, I'm now with God. So let's get it on. So all this news and nonsense, if you look at all the stuff out here that's getting into your head and all the things that people want to tell you about feeling guilty and feeling bad or feeling fear or, oh my goodness, we're all going to hell. The whole society is going to be damned. God's going to destroy it all because we're all sinners. Okay. Here's what I know. Through Christ, I have a relationship with Father. Through Christ, I am healed. Through Christ, the sins of the origins are now accepted and forgiven. And yes, I must walk as a child of God. I must live by the rules of God. And yes, I will make mistakes. And when I do so, I better come forward and admit them. But I'm not going to live my life in perpetual guilt. I'm trying to live my life in seeking perfection, which we know it can't be done on this mortal earth, but through Christ we can achieve the perfection that God intended from the beginning. And everything else, that news in the headlines, that fear of the latest outbreak of the fantastic pandemic that's going to come and eat you up alive in the middle of the night as it climbs up your sheets and crawls up your nose and embeds into your brain and turns you into a walking zombie. Man. Let it go, people. It's all just a bunch of crazy fear to keep you away from one simple fact. We walk by faith, not by sight, and we live through the body of Christ to God. We are solid and we are moving through this earth in that place. And all those noise and things around you are intended to separate that relationship, to weaken your trust in God. And that's the one thing he says, trust in me. So trust in him. All the rest of it's noise. Take a moment to snicker a little bit at how imperfect their attack on us is, how weak their attack is because it is, and then turn your focus to loving thy neighbor as you would want to be loved, to helping those in need, and to giving voice to those that have no voice to protect the innocent. Wow, what an amazing life that suddenly becomes. Everything in the relationship of our world pivots on God's law, knowing that when as we work through the body of Christ, we're now being able to amplify the greatness that we do and be forgiven for the sins in which we are inherently going to make. In all, keeping our hearts true. And knowing that if we trust in God, that all things will be provided. All things. Amen. What an amazing world we are in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are awake this morning, humbled by all that is given, humbled before our King, Christ Jesus, for all that has been given and sacrificed to allow us access and return to you as intended from the beginning. Lord, we are and humbled before you. We are imperfect. We have made sins and we are sinful from the origins of design. But we humble ourselves before you to heal, to seek forgiveness for all that is done, and to empower us to walk in the body of Christ, to be the disciples of the age, to build bridges, to love our neighbors as we intended, as we would want to be loved ourselves, to give voice to those that have no voice and to help those in need. To be that which you intended through your law, to build a world of beauty and love and forgiveness and strength, because in all things love, it conquers all. So as we work through these days, Lord, releasing ourselves from the shackles and yokes of the old way, be it the rulers, be it the fake voice of the churches that try to intercede on your behalf to speak as if they are you, whether it's the news and the noise that's around us to try to convince us of fear and separate us from you. Give us strength, Lord, in these days to hear and see clearly, to walk boldly in your light, and to be filled with the body of Christ as we stand in this world to heal this world. And in the end, return to you. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. There is an absolute guarantee for every person on the face of this earth. You're going to die. Sorry if that comes into shock today. Didn't mean to darken your whole Monday. Yep, hate to tell you, but it's coming. One time or another, you're going to die. When that's going to happen, only God has that clock. No one else does. So as you begin this Monday, ask yourself a simple question. If I died today, what would I say in front of God? And what would I give as my testimony to this world, not only for the deeds I have done, but for the sins that I created? And if we have not come to the feet of Christ to let that come into our heart to heal us and to be absolved from those sins, then all I'll say to you is get busy and get on it, because now is not a better time, and today is not a better day than to let Jesus into your heart to heal all that you are. Because in the end, whether you live to be 10, 50, or 100, or 150, in God's eye, that's just, it's like a grain of sand. That isn't time at all. Let us not waste any time. Let us get busy healing this world through the examples and through the sacrifice that Christ gave us. That's what we're here for. That's why God called us to this time, in a difficult time, not to wring our hands, but to trust in Him, to work through Christ, and in so doing, reclaim this world. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. Pray, humble yourself, pray, and pray for this world, pray for all things around there. Let Christ into your heart. And in the end, remember, God wins. And hopefully, every one of us gets to be there when that ticker tape party gets launched off, because it's going to be a big one. Have a blessed day. I'll be back in 30 minutes for the Storm Dispatch and Federalist Paper number 41. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head.
east of Eden, running with the wolves of freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers with the night knows. There's a revolution rising in the shadows. Fire and ice, we hold.